Good morning. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ United Methodist Church and New Burlington United Methodist Church's online worship service. My name is Pastor Andy, and I am so glad that you are here gathered with us this day on this first Sunday after Easter. What a beautiful day it is to gather in the house of the Lord and to share together the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're able to do that from our living rooms, our homes, and maybe even with some of our family this day. And so we give God thanks for this time together to come and to worship Him. Let's open with a word of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your grace and for this opportunity to just gather wherever we are, in our homes, here in this place, gathered around maybe with family. And Lord, we just thank you for this time together, for us to be able to come and to worship you and to love you with all of our heart and all of our mind and soul and strength. This day, Lord, we pray for our world and we pray for our community. We ask, God, that you would strengthen those who are hurting, being especially present to those who are struggling in this this time of isolation. Lord, we would just lift one another up and just ask that you would just get us through, Lord, and help us through these next few days. We know, God, that you are always with us, and there's no place that we can go where you are not. And so, Lord, we are encouraged in that, for we are in our homes and you are here. We are out maybe getting groceries and you are there. And maybe, Lord, we are just in whatever place we find ourselves, we can count on the truth that you are God with us. And there's nowhere we can be that you are not. And so, Father, meet each and every person this day in the place where they are. Especially be with those who are suffering, those who are in the hospitals, those who are in their homes, either to this COVID-19 virus or what. Especially be with those, Lord, who are combating that virus, and just keep them safe and healthy and in every way. We especially pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones this past week and the past several weeks. Just wrap your arms around them and bring them your comfort and your care, your peace as they walk through that valley of the death. God, just encourage them in every way. And Lord, help us as your people to just reach out in love, to shine as that light that you have put within us as a beacon to those who are hurting or who may be walking a dark path. Help us to just shine your love, Jesus, into each and every heart and life. And God, we thank you for the opportunities that you will put before us this week and in the weeks to come, that we might be able to serve as your hands and feet. This day, Lord, just receive our worship as a fragrant offering of our love for you. For this we ask and this we pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, today I wanted to share with you a story that happened on the very same day of Jesus' resurrection. It's a story about the event of two men who were traveling down a road on the way to Emmaus. And they encounter this person. And this person ends up being Jesus. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Hear these words. That same day, the day of the resurrection, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that has happened these last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked.
the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who had told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down, he took bread and blessed it. And then he broke it and he gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. All this is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. You know, we've had several weeks now to be at home. Hopefully you've caught up on all your spring cleaning, and you've maybe read some of those books that you've been wanting to get to for some time, and maybe even the television or your internet has even gotten a bit boring. No doubt online advertising is at an all-time high, especially with those stimulus checks that are hitting the bank accounts this past week. But about anything and everything is on sale. Man, you could even buy a new car online over the phone, or the dealer will even bring it right to your home. These are certainly difficult times, different times, and difficult for businesses and workers and certainly families. And while some online sales they might be doing all right, that's not the case for most, especially if you happen to be advertising secret shoppers. there's no place to shop unless it's a grocery store or through a restaurant's drive-thru. You know, not long ago you would see those ads advertising how you can supplement your income by becoming a secret shopper. And if you just go online, you'll find all kinds of sites that invite you to it. And of course, for the very, very low price of only $19.99 or up to about $50 to register to become a secret shopper. And of course, they promise to send you a certain number of links where you choose to go and be that secret shopper and get paid for it, which in all sounds pretty cool. I mean, hey, after this stay-at-home order is lifted, man, you could probably hop in your car and run over to Muncie and take your sweetie out for dinner, say maybe Texas Roadhouse, maybe they'll have it done by then. And then you can take your sweetie over to Kohl's and buy some socks and underwear, and then on the way home you can just swing into the vet and get Fluffy some worm medicine. Three stops, and it didn't cost you a cent. In fact, you even made money. What a deal, right? and of eating steak and getting Fluffy's worm medicine all in the same night for free sounds too good to be true, well, it probably is. In fact, a lot of these secret shopper companies, these sites are just a big scam. Send your money in and they'll send you links to the sites, but when you click on the links, there's nothing there. And so, you know, you're out 20 to 50 bucks or so. But there are supposed to be some legitimate ones out there. In fact, I've had a couple ladies in the last church that I served were secret shoppers, and they kind of just did it on the side and had some fun doing it. But secret shoppers, that idea does sound kind of cool. Get paid for eating out or staying in a hotel or grocery shopping or even coming to church. Can you imagine? And all you have to do is just a little bit of paperwork telling about your experience. And, you know, I can kind of get into that, you know, especially for prime rib. Well, today we read in Luke's gospel how Jesus was a little like one of these secret shoppers. It's Easter Sunday. The tomb is empty. The women have reported to the disciples that angels had told them that Jesus was alive, that he had been risen from the dead just as he said he would. And so the news of Jesus' resurrection was spreading throughout Jerusalem, and it's here that Luke tells us this wonderful story about how Jesus reveals himself to two of his followers who were making their way out of Jerusalem to the village Emmaus. And as we look at this little story, we see that Jesus takes his time revealing himself to these men. He kind of plays that part of the secret shopper really well. He hides his identity from them, perhaps taking on a whole new look. Maybe he even appears to them as a frumpy old gentleman who walks with a cane. We don't know, but what we do know is that he most certainly did not look like the Jesus they knew. And so Jesus begins this dialogue with them and asking them, you know, why the long face? Why are you discussing, what are you discussing that seems to be so serious? And Jesus just kind of pulls them right in. He engages them. Oh, will they openly share with this stranger that they don't know, especially since the 11 disciples are just a few miles back in Jerusalem, cowering in fear behind a locked door? I mean, admitting you're a follower might not be the safest or the healthiest thing to do this day. Yet these men, they openly share with this stranger that they were followers of Jesus. And they begin to tell this stranger about all the events that took place these last 3 days. And they share with him their hopes and their dreams of who they thought Jesus was. And then probably after some time, they eventually tell this stranger how they had just heard Jesus was alive, that he had somehow risen from the dead. Yet, how could this possibly be? And this secret shopper, this hidden Jesus, perhaps this frumpy old man, begins to tell them the story of God's Messiah. And he reveals, he breaks open God's word, and he begins with Moses and his with Moses, that deliverer whom God chose and sent to set his people free. And he moves on then to the prophets and how they prophesied how God would send an even greater deliverer, the Messiah. Oh, and then Jesus explains to them how this Messiah would be received, you know? And he explains the work that this Messiah would do and how he would set people free. And so he explains all of these scriptures about himself. And it must have been some pretty good stuff, because those men wanted to hear more, and they invite this stranger to stay with them and to share their meal. And as they sit down at their table, the stranger gives thanks, and he takes bread and he breaks it, and their eyes are open. No longer do they see this frumpy old man or whatever this stranger looks like. Now they see Jesus, the risen Christ. He is right there with them. And he probably smiles as he disappears from their sight. Yeah, I kind of like to think Jesus went kind of like, hey, you know, thumbs up. Good job, guys. Good job. You did exactly what I was hoping I wanted you to do. You told about me and you shared the good news. All this secret shopper has seen that these two followers will openly share their hearts and their minds and their convictions about Jesus, even with a stranger, on a day that many are still hiding in fear. You ever wonder if God might do that same kind of thing today? You ever wonder that? Or you ever wonder if Jesus might appear to us as maybe that man holding that sign in the intersection that reads hungry or homeless, please help? Or I wonder if Jesus could maybe appear to us as a woman who comes by the church and says, I haven't a job, I am desperately, you know, looking for help. My rent is due. I've got three kids at home and their daddy hasn't paid a cent of child support. Is there anything that you can do to help? I wonder if that could be Jesus. You know, or maybe you're just flipping through the channels and you finally come to a show that you really want to watch and doggone it, that very first commercial is some guy asking for help for starving children in Africa. You know? And of course, before you can grab your changer, there he is, that little boy with no shirt, no shoes, his body wrecked with disease and pain. Could that be Jesus? See, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. But does that mean Jesus might do the same kinds of things that he did on that road to Emmaus? But we know it was after the resurrection Jesus appeared to these two followers as someone they didn't recognize, hiding his true identity until just the right time. But that doesn't mean that Jesus would do the same kind of thing today, right? I mean, hey, just because the Bible tells us that, you know, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so some have entertained angels without knowing it. I mean, that doesn't mean that sort of thing could actually happen, right? You know, I'm being just a little facetious. You know, that's kind of a scary thought, though, isn't it? Personally, I find that a little unsettling because I don't always do what I know I should do. I don't always respond the right way. And you know, I'm probably not alone. Probably not alone, am I? Now, as far as helping those in need, I like to think that I usually get that right. And I can kind of figure out who's scamming and who's actually in need. And certainly I would much rather err on the side of caution. But what if one of those dear folks who show up to my door is really Jesus in disguise? And what if this person shows up on your doorstep? And don't be thinking, well, I'll just tell them to go see the preacher on Jackson Street. No, no. Would you and I get it right? Would we get it right? What if Jesus was a secret shopper in your life this past week? Think about that for a moment. What would Jesus have seen? What would he have heard? Would we have gotten a good job? You know? Or would we have gotten maybe something a little less? You see, the truth is, oh, get this. Jesus was a secret shopper in your life this past week, just as he is every week. Whether we were at home or wherever, Jesus was there. Now, he may not have come in the complete form of someone unknown like this stranger in Luke's story, but Nevertheless, he was present in every person you encountered or have encountered these past several weeks. Remember back to that kid who sacks your groceries, or that drive-thru teller at the bank, the guy who cooked your nachos, the woman with Alzheimer's who lives across the hall from your mom, you know, the waitress who was just so slow and messed up your order that last time that you were in a restaurant. Jesus was present in it all. You know, that kind of adds a whole new meaning to when you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Can we truly have eyes to see that everyone who comes to our door, everyone whom we encounter in life, is Jesus in some way? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? You see, I believe Jesus really meant what he said to his disciples in that story of the king just 2 days before the cross, when he said, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You know, I happen to believe the Father of all creation, when he formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed his breath of life into his nostrils, I believe man really did become a living being with the very breath and the very presence of God in him. The lost, the saved, everyone in between, Jesus is present. So we probably ought to think about that the next time that we feel like going off on that little girl who forgot to put nuts on our ice cream sundae. Because in doing so, we have just went off on Jesus. Or think about that the next time you're tempted to say something that maybe is not so edifying about someone in the church or about someone even outside the church, because doing so is doing it to Jesus. You see, a huge element of this Emmaus story has to do with recognizing Jesus or not recognizing him. And so the story begs us to ask that question: can we recognize Jesus in our midst? Do we have eyes to see Jesus in others, even though they may not know him? Do we have eyes to see Jesus in them? I think that's a pretty good question. It's a question that makes you think. And something else in this story that helps us to understand, that we need to understand, and that is not only is Jesus present in the stranger when he reveals himself through him, but that revealing happens through the most common of all things, which happens to be my sermon title. In the breaking of bread, the most common of things, in the breaking of bread, they recognize, they see Jesus. In the common breaking of bread, they see Jesus. Understand, this wasn't communion. This wasn't a reenactment of the Last Supper. This was just plain old, everyday, ordinary supper. And yet somehow, some way, they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Oh, you see, God is not just present in all people. He is also present in all things. There's no place on planet Earth that you can go where God is not. There is no part of your life where God is not. God is present in all things, even right where you're sitting, even in that place of your home. Even in the midst of those most ordinary things of all of your life. I love the way the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning puts it. She writes, "Earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush of fire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries." Oh, my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we not see a blackberry bush, but that we see the very presence of God alive and at work in our lives. That you and I recognize Jesus in the most ordinary places of our lives. And that when you look at those around you, and I look at those around me, and when you look upon those that you do not know, oh, may you see Jesus present in them. May I see Jesus present in them. Let's pray together as God's people. Loving Father, we love you. And we are so grateful that you opened the tomb that day and walked out. That you walked out and into our world so that we might have life in you, that we might be set free from sin and death, and so that we might enjoy your presence, your friendship, every day of our lives. Just as you came to those disciples in that upper room and to those disciples on that road to Emmaus, you bring your presence to us and you whisper your word of love to us and your help to us, especially in those times that we feel helpless. Lord, we are so grateful that there is no place that we can look where you are not. There is nothing in this world that you have not already touched and redeemed and strengthened, and we see you. We see you in that. Just like in every bush is aflame with you. Lord, help us to recognize that in all things, and recognize that especially in all people. Lord, we just love you. We just love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this day to worship you. Continue to draw near to us, Lord, and make us new in faith and strengthen us and help us to grow in love for one another. For this we ask, and this we give you all of our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Go now in the strength and in the power and of the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience his peace. Amen.